Live. It is your show. You can bring up whatever you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are completely free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. We'll start things out here tonight with a story I mentioned last night. We never had a chance to get to it. About Zimbabwe. From time to time, we check in with their monetary situation over there, which, in case you aren't aware, is just awful.
Well, it's not that we're checking in with Zimbabwe because Zimbabwe isn't terribly important to us. It's that, you know, what's going on there is hyperinflation, and it can happen anywhere. Anywhere that, you know, a government decides for whatever reason, be it greed or desperation, to print too much money, you'll have that instance, and that's what's happening in Zimbabwe.
Yep, and so we'll give you an update here on the numbers. What, how bad has it gotten, and what are they doing over there as a result of it? The story from the Mail on Sunday in the UK, mailonsunday.co.uk. It's without a doubt, the largest check ever seen, but it's worth little more than the paper it's written on. The astronomical sum of 1 quadrillion, 72 trillion, I didn't even know what came after trillion. 400.
I happen to know that, but I don't know what they're going to do soon.
What, 400.
Quintillion?
Nope, they have a solution. $418 billion and $3 million only. Note the only was drawn on the MBCA Bank in Zimbabwe, part of one of the largest banking groups in Africa. It was paid by Kasawi Estates, a property company, and was emailed to the Daily Mail by a group of former Rhodesian expats or expatriates who are horrified at Zimbabwe's incredible rate of inflation, which is officially 2.2 million percent, but British experts say it's closer to 12.5 million percent. And of course, it's typical for governments to fudge the numbers when it comes to their inflation numbers, their statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the government says inflation is, you can presume it's actually higher than that. I think the government claims to have, what, 2 to 3% inflation in America, but it's actually probably more like 10-plus percent.
Well, they fudge the numbers. They'll take out things like fuel, housing, you know, stuff like that, you know, electrical, and then they leave you with things like, you know, the stuff you buy at Walmart, and that's not really a good indication of how well America's doing, considering most of my money is spent on housing and fuel and food and things like that. Food is also one of the things I'll take out.
Currency dealer said the plunging value of Zimbabwe dollars made it almost impossible to estimate its value, but some thought it would have been worth no more than a few pounds yesterday, and certainly even less today. The incredible check, which is believed to be payment as part of a property deal, was revealed as the Zimbabwe Central Bank decided to reduce the huge sums that hard-pressed citizens have to deal with simply by knocking 10 zeros off the end.
How nice of them.
So now, the old value, that means that from Friday, when new banknotes are printed, 10 billion old Zimbabwe dollars is now, poof, one Zimbabwe dollar.
It's magic.
It is magic. It's magic funny money. And this just really should go to show people another example of the fact that this is just all arbitrary. The government money system is completely based on nothing but thin air. It's just nonsense. They make it up as they go along. They print up as much as they want to. And once they've hyperinflated and printed too much, they just lob off 10 zeros from the end of it and start all over again. Now, lobbing off 10 zeros isn't going to stop the hyperinflation. It's just going to make it easier to write a check for about a week
that
before it gets
true.
Back up to where it was before. Oh, my goodness. Well, the desperate move was taken by Bank Governor Gideon Gono because the nation's computers, calculators, and ATMs faced meltdown because they can't handle all the zeros involved when bread and staple foods cost billions and trillions of dollars. The move came about a week after Dr. Gono introduced a $100 billion note, which is now not enough to buy a loaf of bread. Can you imagine that? Just for a moment, stop for a moment. I mean, if you're driving, you should probably keep driving. But if stop what you're doing if you're not driving for a moment and think about what that's like. I mean, bread for Americans, $1.59, $1.19, $2.20, something like that.
It should be a dollar.
It should be less than a dollar. In the day, it was 5 cents.
That moment in time when I just imprinted on how much a loaf of bread was, it was
$1.
Yeah.
I see. Well, so try to imagine what it's like to have a loaf of bread the shelf price, they don't even put a shelf price up in Zimbabwe because they'd be changing it every 5 minutes. So the price, you go up to the register when you buy your food, that's when they tell you what it's going to cost.
Bad news.
It's $10 billion for a loaf of bread. Just try to imagine what that means. You can't grasp it. You can't wrap your mind around what $10 billion actually is. You know it'll buy you the loaf of bread, but there's no real way to quantify or to really understand what that means. And the whole idea that a loaf of bread could be $10 billion is just crazy to even think about, isn't it? Could this happen here? Could this happen in America? Could this insane hyperinflation situation scenario occur here?
Well, of course it could. Now, the question is, will it? Right now, Barack Obama is proposing, $2 trillion deficit for 2010 because, they're trying to get us back on track, so the government's going to print money. They don't say that. We're turning on the printing presses because they don't want to tell, people to realize that they're devaluing the currency. But the marketplace knows that already. It figures that stuff out relatively quickly. So, our currency is going to be devalued, no doubt. How much? Hyperinflation? Conjecture.
Yeah, those are the two questions, right? How much devaluation and how soon will it happen? It's inevitable that it will be devalued. That's what has happened to the U.S. dollar ever since they took away the value backing. Ever since they dropped away from value backing and turned it into a true fiat currency, it's just dropped like a rock. It's lost 97% of its original value. I believe it's around 96, 97% of its original value at that time. Since then, in about 100 years' time. We're actually coming up on about the 100-year anniversary of it, as a matter of fact. So hopefully we'll be able to take things slow here as far as inflation is concerned. But either way, whether it's inflation or hyperinflation, the basics of the situation are still the same. The government is printing money out of thin air and they're manufacturing. It doesn't create new value. It doesn't create new wealth. You have to create new products and services and put them in the marketplace in order to have new wealth created. Just printing out money doesn't do that. And do Americans understand this? Do Americans realize what it is, how tenuous this situation is?
No, I was listening to Tom Hartman, the Air America's Rush Limbaugh, so the Democratic Rush Limbaugh guy. Not that he's nearly as popular, because he's certainly not.
He's just in the same time slot.
Yeah, he's in the same time slot, and he's a heavy hitter, no doubt. He does a good show. But, he's like, you want to do good things for Americans? Raise the minimum wage. This is how he proposes to solve the financial crisis. This guy who's got, master's degrees out the wazoo.
That's what they taught him in college.
Yeah.
Right?
And he spends every minute of his show, he spends a great deal of his time on his show trying to, debunk economics. He understands that he has a failed philosophy, and he tries very, very hard to debunk economics and, fails all the time.
I can't say I've really listened to the guy before, save the occasional time when I happen to be driving with you and you haven't tuned in.
Yeah.
But I did actually encounter him at that Manchester political event that they had during the election. They had this event in Manchester during the primary season where a bunch of talk show hosts got together in a hotel and set up remote broadcast equipment. And Tom Hartman was one of those hosts. And you and I mulled around looking for interview opportunities, and we barely got any of them. But I managed to get one with Tom Hartman.
You did?
And I sat in on his show for about 10 minutes.
When did this happen?
I don't think I went and grabbed an archive of it, or maybe I couldn't get it. I don't know. I don't really recall. I guess I didn't put too much effort into it. But, man, I wish I had more time with that guy, because he's a pretty sharp dude.
Yeah.
But he's a dyed-in-the-wool statist, and we started getting into private justice, right off the bat. And so it would have been a really interesting conversation. If I'd had an hour with that guy, it would have been very interesting. But it was only 10 minutes, so what can you do? 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. But it was good being across the table from him because he couldn't pop me down or anything like that. He couldn't take me off the air like he might if you were a caller, for instance. 800-259-9231. You can bring up anything. Coming up, what are the Baltimore police going to do to protect their own? The thin blue line closes tighter. We'll explain in moments.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the problem to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call now to solve all of your computer problems. 888-629-9903. 888-629-9903. That's 888-629-9903.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. January 8th, 2009. Gold opened this morning at $855.50. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $880.77, $440.39 for the half ounce, and $220.19 for a quarter ounce. That's $880.77, $440.39, and $220.19.
70% of China's 1 trillion reserves are in dollar, now purchasing 250,000 barrels of oil per day from Iran in euro. Japanese refiners buy 550,000 barrels, switching dollar to yen. Bad news for U.S. currency. China and Japan hold large positions in dollar. Trading equals permanent loss. Dollars fall into 65% of euro, erosion accelerates. Countries despise imperialistic policy of U.S., loss of confidence causing more selling. GAO is warning about the debt spiraling out of control. Why attack Iran? Jerome O'Carsey's Iran Leads Attack Against the U.S. Dollar documents spells it out. Call 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being destroyed in a global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237 for Corsi's report today. That's 800-686-2237.
Hello, I'm Steve Schenck. Many have been afraid they needed their food supplies before the election. The inauguration, not the election, is the deadline given by the Obama insiders for completing your food supplies. Joe Biden and Colin Powell both stated that shortly after the inauguration, possibly the 21st or 22nd of January, the new president would be forced by an international incident to make some unpopular decisions. This functions as an important deadline for getting any food you intend to have. The unpopular presidential decisions will likely affect restriction of transportation and availability of food distribution. Order any remaining food needed no later than 4 weeks before the inauguration to allow for shipping. Late orders cannot be guaranteed delivery by this deadline for disaster. Call 800-409-5633 on the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Less is more. I want you to think of Life Change Tea as, well, a 2008 Ferrari 612. The Ferrari 612 is a two-door, four-passenger luxury car that gives an exploding 540 horsepower through its 6-liter V12. It has a top speed of 199 miles per hour and can accelerate 0 to 60 in about 4 seconds. Life Change Tea will accelerate your life into feeling more energy, losing weight, and cleansing toxins out of your body so you'll live longer. And guess what? You can accelerate your life without a Ferrari 612 sticker price of $318,000. You can buy green tea for less, but unfortunately, it's just another daily driver with no performance. So for just about a dollar a day, you can drive the Ferrari of teas. Don't be fooled by size. Check our website out at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Remember Life Change Tea. Less is more.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
You can bring up anything. Just dial the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL-CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are totally free, so enjoy those on us, including the live streams, broadband version, dial-up version, and a webcam, all totally free for you at listen.freetalklive.com. That's listen.freetalklive.com. Julia stepping into the third seat a few moments late, but better late than never. We'll take as much as we can have. In fact, I'm glad you're here for this, Julia, because this is going to be an outrageous story. I don't think that it has gotten this. I didn't realize it was going to get this bad this soon, but then again, the government is pretty good at exceeding my expectations as far as how fast they will roll down the road toward tyranny. And the police state. And this is about the police state. The story is from the Baltimore Sun. And we're going to get to that. But first, let's talk to Dennis in New Hampshire. We'll find out what the police in Baltimore are doing to close the thin blue line ever tighter. Go ahead, Dennis. What's on your mind tonight?
Greetings, freedom fighters.
Yes, sir.
I just had a really interesting conversation with a police officer. Funny that you mention it.
A conversation. Okay.
Yeah. I was taping a show for my little public access TV show, and on the show I had a police officer and a civil disobedience activist person, which is fun. And so I was talking to this police officer afterward, and as fate would have it, this was one of the guys who arrested Mike Fisher for his illegal civil disobedience manicure thing.
That was it happened a long time ago, like 3 or 4 years ago now at this point, where one of the free state activists went out in front of the bureaucracy that regulates nail filing or whatever, and he actually filed someone's nails without a permit or without a license, and they actually arrested him for it.
And this guy was still clearly, visibly, really, he's still chewing on that. He is still chewing on that and still really thinking about that. And
really?
Oh, yeah. And so today when he's talking to another young person who is, you know, sitting there and saying, you know, full well, he intends to get arrested. He knows exactly which law he's getting arrested. He knows exactly what the punishment would be. And you can see this guy is not happy with the fact that the kid is going to get arrested.
So he's thinking about, like, the act of civil disobedience is working, or he is frustrated. I'm still confused.
He's got a moral problem, a moral conundrum.
Okay.
You know, a moral, you know, what do you call it? Challenge.
Dilemma.
Like, what do I do here? And I tell you what really struck me. I hear Ian all the time talking about, oh, if 10 people didn't obey, then the system would crumble. And I go, come on. I tell you what, I never realized this until just a few minutes ago. I seriously think 10 Michael Fishers would, I don't know what it would do to the cops, at least in a particular community. I don't think they'd all throw down their guns and stop coming to work, but I think they would say, oh yeah, those people are doing civil disobedience, don't plug them.
Yeah, well, I mean, just from a numbers perspective, Dennis, here in Keene, where we do the show, there are only so many cops on duty at any given point. I mean, if you had 10 people doing civil disobedience, those 10 people would have to be awfully cooperative if the cops intended to arrest all 10 of them, because they just don't have enough manpower physically to do things, to do something about that. The activists up here have been talking about doing a sit-in at the court because one of the judges here had a real a hissy fit about people not standing up in his courtroom, and he demanded it and threatened the activists with arrest. And at that time, they weren't ready to be arrested, but many of them are willing to go in next time and put their freedom on the line. And you know, if they don't have enough bailiffs, what can they do?
I really do see the impact now that I've had a chance to talk to someone face to face, one on one, the impact that arresting someone who they know is not hurting anyone and is doing it for a reason, to make the point. It bugs them. They don't walk away from that unchanged.
They want to feel like they're doing what's right. They want to feel like the good guy. They want to feel like a hero. And if you can make them feel uncomfortable in their job by having them arrest somebody who's obviously peaceful or whatever the situation is, that really has to do something.
I can tell you it does.
This is why, to me, good civil disobedience is something like this, where I mean, pretty much everyone can agree that it's absolutely ludicrous that Michael got arrested for this. I think.
Well, now, wait a minute. We're not talking about another manicurist. We're talking about. You didn't actually mention what the instance is that you were talking about, Dennis.
Yes, he.
You mentioned Michael Fisher in the past, but the show you did where the cop was talking to the disobedient guy is about what's coming up happening on Saturday with the marijuana protest, right?
That's correct.
But I was under the impression that Dennis was pointing out that this guy is still disturbed after when he was talking to him after the show. This guy is still disturbed by the fact that he arrested Mike Fisher 3 years ago.
Oh yeah, it's lingering.
Right.
And you can really see he's going, oh my God, another one. Like, you know, he was hoping this was a one off.
Yeah, it's not good.
Not because of the amount of paperwork or because oh this sucks or these damn hippies. No, he was just like, oh, don't put me through this again. There's a limit to their ability to be the bad, and the guy actually used the word, you know, he says, look, I really don't want to feel like a Nazi, and I said, look, stop acting like one. You know, and he didn't get all flustered about that. He's like introspecting at that point.
Definitely see the value of civil disobedience in pointing out problems in society. I think that there's still a role for the political types to fix those problems, as it were, to, you know, have these laws eliminated and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, and until it's pointed out to people, and this guy had it pointed out to him in spades, if he had the decision in his hand, he wouldn't arrest somebody like that again.
Exactly. And it's going to take pressure from all sides. It's going to take media. It's going to take legislative change. It's going to take civil disobedience to make even the tiniest moves towards liberty. You know, it's not going to happen just from a radio show. It's not going to happen just from a sit-in. It's not going to happen just from one legislator getting elected. We're talking about changing society, and, man, that's like, what's the term, Sisyphean. That's pushing a big rock uphill.
It's quite a challenge.
Anyway, that was the deal.
Who was the guy who got his liver eaten out by the eagle every day?
Oh, Prometheus.
Okay. Well, that's it. That's what he gets for giving fire to the people.
Yeah, don't fire. Yeah.
Hey, Dennis, your show is NH Capital Access. I mean, obviously it's New Hampshire-focused, but for those who are outside of New Hampshire that are interested in watching another one of the many programs, the liberty-oriented programs that are originating from here in New Hampshire, how can they go and see your show?
Really what I'd recommend people to do is just go to the freestateproject.org website, because freestateproject.org has like an aggregator of a whole bunch of pro-liberty media from New Hampshire on it, on the front page. Like when we do a show, we put it on the web. Free State Project picks it up. They put it up just like they do with Free Minds TV. So, yeah, just go to freestateproject.org. We're there.
When is this going online? Is it already available, or?
Probably maybe tomorrow, sometime over the weekend. It all depends on, you know, I do actually have to work for a living sometimes. It sucks. There you go.
All right, well, I look forward to seeing this because it sounds like a very interesting discussion that you had there with a cop and a soon-to-be civil disobedient. Thank you, Dennis, for the call tonight. 800-259-9231. Even old Dennis changing his mind about civil disobedience. I like that. It's good. And the more we can do, the more of an effect it will have on people outside and inside the movement. More coming up. You take control. It's Free Talk Live.
Break the law and you're caught on film.
Practically impossible for police to spot plates that have been treated with the reflective spray.
The reflection blinded our camera.
We are under the microscope. Red light cameras and speed cameras are in place to make money, not for your safety. But you don't have to be defenseless against these unconstitutional devices. Have a fighting chance with SprayYourPlate.com's photo blocker. When properly applied, this revolutionary product has proven itself to be the most effective device available against traffic cameras. Invisible to the naked eye, your license plate, when flashed, will be overexposed and unreadable to the cameras. Save your money. Go to SprayYourPlate.com. That's SprayYourPlate.com. And check out the newscast showing the photoblocker in action, proving that the Spray Your Plate's photoblocker works against traffic cameras. Go to SprayYourPlate.com or call 1-800-276-9601. That's 1-800-276-9601. Don't give your money to the state. Spray Your Plate. And when the cameras flash, you'll save some cash.
IonicZone.com has the best prices on commercial shock treatment ozone generators starting at $299. But did you know IonicZone.com also sells a water ozonator that's a must-have for anyone interested in good health? It's true. The IonicZone Digital Water Ozonator features an air intake and can be fed dry air through the supplied air dryer or pure oxygen via an oxygen tank.
ozone-fortified water can be used to kill bacteria, sanitize food, produce, and eliminates bacteria in the mouth by gargling, which helps prevent bad breath and even heart disease. The optional ozone bidet attachment is used for personal hygiene, which can kill the bacteria down below that can lead to irritation. It's amazing what 3 atoms of oxygen can do. Call Ionic Zone today at 1-800-549-9535. That's 1-800-549-9535. Or visit them on the web at ioniczone.com. That's ioniczone.com today.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days. But many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit acolablue.com. AcolaBlue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a 5-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing 5-gallon bottles of water in your home. The AcolaBlue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call AcolaBlue right now at 866-585-4044. That's 866-585-4044. Or visit AcolaBlue at ecolablue.com today.
Attention, an important product from hempusa.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything. Just dial toll-free 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are totally free, so enjoy those on us. Those features, by the way, including the live streams, broadband version, dial-up, webcam, all free at listen.freetalklive.com. That's listen.freetalklive.com. I want to continue on the civil disobedience discussion here that Dennis got started. Coming up here in New Hampshire, Keene is where it's going to be taking place. One of the Manchester Free Staters, a young man who moved in from California, Andrew, is going to be doing a marijuana protest. Andrew does not smoke marijuana. He's not a marijuana consumer.
I think that is excellent.
It's quite a position.
It's necessary.
It's a good position to be coming from for this particular protest, that's for sure. And I think it's a great first marijuana protest. So that's what he's going to be standing in public on Saturday afternoon, I believe 1 o'clock in the afternoon, in Keene, New Hampshire. He'll be standing in public and will hold in the palm of his hand, this is as I understand the protest, will hold in the palm of his hand a bud of marijuana. That will be the protest. And he has publicized this, and the police are well aware of it because they watch our blogs and they read our internet forums here. And so the question is, well, what are they going to do? Are they going to arrest him? Are they going to throw him in a jail cell? Will they arrest him and just immediately release him on his recognizance? Will they simply give him a citation? Will they ignore the entire occasion entirely? What will the police do? The ball will be in their court at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, and time will tell. So that's what Dennis was talking about. He had Andrew on his show, which Dennis's show is NHCAP TV, New Hampshire Capital Access, and he was interviewing a police officer alongside of this young civilly disobedient man. And these cops, number one, aren't used to dealing with civil disobedience.
No, I mean, they didn't get into the business to clack people over the head who are being peaceful and trying to live their lives in a peaceful manner.
Right.
They got into the business to get bad guys, and when they know I think that every one of them, even the ones that didn't get into the business to get bad guys, tell themselves they got into the business to get bad guys. So it doesn't really matter. But when they have to deal with somebody who's being civilly disobedient, they have to do one of two things. They either have to question, you know, their job, themselves, and all mm-hmm. that stuff, or they have to turn that person into a bad person.
And if it's clear they're not bad, then that's a real tough thing to do.
Well, it is. I think that some forms of civil disobedience, they're able to say that this person is bad because they're doing something stupid. But in this case, the time has come for marijuana decriminalization.
You better believe it.
And this, so I mean, even the cops realize that.
A lot of them do. A lot of them are secretly against the war on drugs. They're so afraid of the political ramifications.
It's not a popular opinion.
To be against the war on drugs?
Not necessarily to be against it, but to come out and talk about it is
That's
not
true.
Popular.
Especially as a cop.
I openly discuss marijuana legalization. That's not a subject that makes me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But when I say it to people, if it comes up and I start talking to them about it, I feel like they agree, but they're shocked that I would say such a thing.
Oh, yes. How dare you speak of marijuana in polite company or something like that?
It's just one of those things you're not supposed to talk about, I guess.
I don't know if I've had those same experiences, but I can certainly imagine having them, and I absolutely can see where you're coming from on that. So putting the police into that difficult position of having to deal with somebody who's clearly peaceful, clearly intelligent, and clearly attempting to make a point, and having them have to be the bad guy makes them feel very uncomfortable. And that's why I say the more we can have this happen, the better off we're going to be. The more civil disobedience, the better. The more non-cooperation, the better. Because the government system that we have today relies entirely on your consent. It relies on your cooperation. Yeah, we understand. They're going to hurt you if they want to hurt you. They're going to throw you in a jail cell if they want to throw you in a jail cell. Certainly, it's not 100% based in consent. But my point here is that if enough people stop consenting and stop obeying, then there's very little that they can do. As an example,
the transaction cost is very high for them and this whole marijuana.
To arrest somebody?
Yeah, to arrest someone, to incarcerate them and all that other stuff. That's difficult. And, you know,
the states can't print money.
Even though the government doesn't react to economics in the same fashion as the real world, it still has to react.
That's true. Ultimately, there is a finite amount of money going into their coffers at the state and local levels because they can't turn on the printing presses like the federal government can. So you're right, Mark. There is a certain breaking point at which they just can't afford to do this anymore. And we know that that point isn't far away because right now, here in New Hampshire, and other state governments may be affected in the same way, the budget is so tight that they had to cut jury trials for an entire month. They just had to say, sorry about that. You can't have a speedy trial this month. If you've got a jury trial, you have to wait an extra month because they needed to save some money.
How many times does that have to happen before they say, you know, we're just not going to do the marijuana possession below an ounce anymore?
Right.
You know, whatever.
And it doesn't take a change in the law. I mean, that'd be nice and everything, but all it really takes is a change in enforcement. The cops could just say, well, we're not doing this anymore. We're going to focus on other things.
I've been arrested for marijuana possession twice, not recently, but mm-hmm. both times the cop who pulled me aside and fingerprinted me, both times, two separate states, two separate cops, when they were private and just alone with me, told me that they did not agree with the law and that they thought that it was a total waste of time that I was there and that they personally would not have bothered arresting me were it them.
This conversation is going to become more and more important, and it will become more and more frequent. I mean, Julia, you're saying that people don't want to talk about these things.
Right. These were behind closed doors. They would not say those things in front of their other fellow police officers.
But that's going to be happening more and more. People are going to have this conversation as more disobedience continues to occur. It forces the issue into public discussion. And just by total coincidence, last month, there was supposed to be a feature news article printed in the biggest paper in the state, the Union Leader. It was going to be about marijuana prohibition and the possibility of ending it. I've not read the article yet because it hasn't come out. The ice storms hit up here, and they delayed this. It's just a feature article. It's not time sensitive, so they could put it out whenever they wanted to. So they put it on hold, and it's allegedly going to come out this Sunday. So the day after Andrew Carroll does his marijuana disobedience here in Keene, there's a huge article that's going to be released with law enforcement against prohibition members from New Hampshire quoted in it.
And 2 weeks ago, the Keene Sentinel, which is the oldest newspaper in New Hampshire, ran an article on decriminalization, too.
That's true.
So now the atmosphere in Keene, at least amongst the newspaper-reading folks, so the old people have had the idea of marijuana decriminalization introduced to them. And, you know, for a lot of it, it's like, I don't know, I've never seen this stuff, but I heard that crack is bad. Like, they're just, you know, it's all one big muddled mess.
Drugs are drugs to them.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, when my mom found out I smoked marijuana when I was young, she's like, this isn't that crack stuff, is it? She had no idea, and God bless her. You know, she doesn't know. So I think that you know, people need to be introduced to this idea, and that's what's happening. And I think that I think you'll see in the next couple of years something really big happening in New Hampshire on this. I don't know what. Obviously, I wish we had been leading the charge. Certainly, other states have tried it and done it.
But maybe we can take the lead here.
It'd be nice.
With enough civil disobedience.
That's one of the reasons I like talking about marijuana. I'm sure a lot of people think that I'm some pothead who just spends my days getting stoned, but I really just think it's important for people who are responsible to talk about smoking marijuana.
I agree. If the responsible marijuana users would come out of the closet and stop living in so much fear, and some of it's justified.
They're just little cowards about
it. Well, now, wait a minute. Now, some of it's justified. I mean, some of them might lose their jobs immediately upon that information coming out. So I can understand the fear. But in many cases, that's not going to happen. If you work at a restaurant, for instance, you're not going to get fired. So coming out and talking to family members and friends about this issue is critical.
I talk to my mom about it all the time. I always tell her if she asks what I'm doing and I'm honestly smoking at that time, I'll tell her. Because I feel like the more she hears it, the less it matters. Exactly.
800-259-9231. If you've got thoughts on this, maybe you're a law enforcement officer out there listening and you've had a shift in paradigm on the issue of drug prohibition, what was it that helped you come to the understanding? Or were you always against prohibition but just didn't ever want to say anything about it? 800-259-9231. Your thoughts on this or whatever you want. This is Free Talk Live.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call now to solve all of your computer problems. 888-629-9903. 888-629-9903. 629-9903. That's 888-629-9903.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Now that the election is over and the shock is beginning to wear off, Ready Reserve Foods, in an effort to get as many Americans prepared for the promised changes of the new administration and to help you and your family survive the global economic crash, Ready Reserve is offering the pre-inauguration special. Between now and January 20th, 2009, all food units U1 through U7 are being offered at wholesale prices. That's a 33% savings. A year's supply of meals starts as low as 73 cents per meal. Ready Reserve Food offers only the highest quality dehydrated food, packed in double enameled cans in an inert nitrogen atmosphere, allowing a 15-plus year shelf life. Ready Reserve has been manufacturing since 1972, giving them the freedom to offer you amazing savings. Great tasting Ready Reserve Foods at wholesale prices. Order now at ReadyReserveFoods.com or call today, 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
With rising unemployment and an economy that continues to fail comes an increase in crime. Are you safe when you walk to your car? Are your kids safe when they go out? Everyone needs something to give that extra edge in case of an attack. You need DPS pepper spray from MrDefense.com. DPS is the strongest pepper spray on the market and is the same spray used by hundreds of law enforcement agencies from around the world. Need something more? The Stinger keychain is a great way to surprise a potential attacker. Mr. Defense carries the largest selection of stun guns, air tasers, knives, swords, batons, survival, spy, and tactical gear. Mention this ad and receive 10% off your order. Visit MrDefense.com. That's MrDefense.com or call 1-800-313-6400. 1-800-313-6400. That's 1-800-313-6400 today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, it's your show. You can bring up what you want. Just dial toll-free 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. The features we give away. Now, if you like the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can learn how to promote us by going to promote.freetalklive.com. There's a whole list of things for you that you can do to help get Free Talk Live into more ears around the world, and most of them are completely free. So please go to promote.freetalklive.com as we go to your phone calls and start with Ken in California. Ken, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Julia, and Mark.
Hey guys, I was listening to the show again tonight, and just
we hope so.
gave me another epiphany. Basically, you were talking about the police and marijuana and all this. So what I was figuring, cops who truly have a conscience, if they're truly serving and protecting the interests of the public, then how can they with a good conscience arrest anyone for marijuana firstly?
Well, they're just following orders, Ken.
Well, no, but I understand. Also, if they're supposed to serve and protect, they're not protecting by not serving us by speaking up and saying this is morally wrong.
It's correct, but you're familiar with the Milgram study, right?
No, I'm not.
Well, it's a study where they administered electric shocks to one person.
Oh yes, I'm familiar with that, but I wasn't familiar with it under the name. I've heard of it where they taken people, normal everyday people, and put them in situations and made them evil by shock.
Right. Well, evil. I don't know. I mean,
by telling them to shock someone.
Right. It proved that authorities could get people to do things that they wouldn't do otherwise.
Well, the other study that is relevant to mention here is the Stanford Prison Experiment, which was not a Milgram experiment, but it was instead a Zimbardo, I think it was. And that was where they took college kids and assigned them to being either guards or prisoners in a fake jail setup, and they watched what happened, and the entire thing spiraled completely out of control beyond what the original intentions were for the project. The guy that was putting it on, the psychology counselor or whatever, the teacher, professor that was putting it on, was shocked at what happened, and essentially they all fell right into their roles.
Yeah.
The guards were acting like guards when 2 days beforehand they'd been regular college kids, and they were being sadistic and awful, and the prisoners were acting pathetic and terrible, and it was just an awful situation.
There was a sort of a prison break, but then some of the prisoners wouldn't go along with the break, as though this is real authority. This is fake authority.
Yeah.
But they still couldn't come up with the, what it took in their soul to say no to the fake authority.
Right.
It's crazy. It is crazy. Well, hopefully more cops will join LEAP.
I'm
really pushing LEAP because if, as soon as they find the compassion and the knowledge that they're ruining more lives, when you put someone in jail for a plant, that's like that's more wrong than almost any other thing they could do to a citizen on a regular daily basis.
It's pretty awful, and so many people are affected by it every single year. Last numbers I saw was over 800,000 Americans were arrested for marijuana, mostly possession charges, in 1 year's time, and it's that terrible, more than the population of some of the states.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. Hey, before I go, guys, can I play a real quick 4 second clip?
Go ahead.
Okay, and I don't agree with this, but this is the mindset the cops have.
Marijuana is a narcotic, medically and legally. It never did anybody any good, and does everybody a lot of harm.
My bud.
Thank you, Ken, for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9231. It's interesting the situation the cops claim to be in, right? I mean, the situation is that, well, it's our job to uphold the law. The law is the law. It's a nation of laws. Blah, blah, blah. This is my job. I'm doing my job, et cetera, et cetera. We've heard all the excuses. Well, you know, I don't want to arrest marijuana smokers, and sometimes I don't, but it's my job, so sometimes I do, or whatever. And if it's their job to arrest marijuana smokers, then they should do it every single time, but they don't. And that's good. I'm glad they don't. I'm glad they let people go.
But if they're really into doing their job right every single time, then...
If that was, in fact, a valid excuse. Yeah.
Exactly.
So they're kind of, a lot of them are kind of in this limbo land. And then you've got Fred Parcells. Fred, who is a local politician here in the Keene area.
I love Fred.
Wrote me. He's a nice guy. A little confused, but, you know, he's learning, and so are we all. Fred emails in here because I called him out as a local politico, and he got upset because he doesn't like being called politician. Now, that's not politician. Politico means somebody who's, to me, it means somebody who's interested in politics. And
wait,
so I was explaining that to him.
Wasn't he a city councilor two months ago?
No, was that like a year ago or something, a year and a half ago?
Is that not a politician?
He's
city
no
counselor?
Longer a politician.
Because they don't get paid?
He doesn't like the terminology politician, because and he tries very hard to be fair and middle of the road. I mean, I can't even figure out whether Fred is a Democrat or a Republican.
He's neither.
He's not, right. He is neither. And, you know, I can't figure out whether he's authoritarian or small state. He's like a staunch militant moderate. I think Fred's trying.
So what Fred wrote me back after I responded to him about, well, Fred, I meant by politico, I meant you're into politics. He says, actually, I greatly dislike politicians. That's why I was an elected official, kind of like Ms. Julia wanted to be. There is a difference. I didn't say that I was in favor of civil disobedience. I said I was in favor of decriminalization of marijuana, 1 ounce or less, says Fred. Andrew's efforts will achieve nothing. He's talking about
what would the difference between 1 ounce, 1 gram be?
Don't ask Fred to answer those questions. He'll never answer.
Oh, yeah, that's one thing that always actually really bothered me. Fred's a great guy, but he'll ask you question after question after question, and he will never answer yours.
Never answer questions.
But he'll ask you plenty.
He says, if I were the police chief, I would ignore him. I see this as a Barry Cooper moment, smells like a setup to sucker the police into reacting. That's what I wanted to bring up here, because if it's the law, this isn't suckering the police into reacting. This is testing the police to see if they will enforce the law that they supposedly are so sworn to uphold. If it's your job to arrest people who possess marijuana, you should arrest Andrew Carroll on Saturday afternoon.
Well, I wouldn't be adamant for the arrest.
I hope they don't arrest him.
It's right. There's a success in every aspect here. That's why it's great civil disobedience, is because if they don't arrest him, we've shown here that cops don't arrest everyone who has marijuana. Maybe Fred's right. Maybe there would be an advantage to the police for not going after Andrew. And
they wouldn't be videotaped arresting somebody who is clearly a nonviolent individual.
Now, it would seem that if it is immoral to possess marijuana, and because it's immoral, it is illegal, then the cops are morally obligated to you know, to go and arrest him.
But what we'll see happen is if they don't arrest him, as they have avoided arresting us for gambling in the past, and they've avoided arresting Dave Ridley for doing various different law breaking, another New Hampshire activist, if they don't choose to, if they choose to not enforce their law, then how can anybody claim to have any respect for their law if it's not even evenly enforced? It's not even consistently enforced. They obviously don't have any set standards.
Right.
It's like whatever makes us look good.
If there is no set standard, then it is not moral. What they are doing is then immoral. Because it's not set, there is no standard. The law must be immoral if you are going to enforce it arbitrarily.
The fact is,
and
this law is arbitrarily enforced.
These guys are their job is to be moral, is to, you know, enforce the social morality. That's what the idea behind laws are.
And of course, the irony is that in order to enforce their morality, they have to be immoral by threatening people with violence in order to contribute to their programs.
One can take a utilitarian stance on that and, make a darn good argument for that it in fact being moral to enforce laws.
So 800-259.
No one can make an argument that enforcing laws arbitrarily is moral.
1-800-259-9231. So we will bring you the latest on this marijuana protest situation as it develops. I wonder how often have protests like this actually occurred in the United States? Clearly, there have been public smokeouts. There have been things like there's the Colorado campus where every single year they have, I think it's on 420, they have a 420 day, and the kids go out into the common area and a bunch of them get high, and it's record numbers every single year, and the cops obviously can't do anything about it because there's just too many people. So there's that particular protest. There are also the various different hemp fests that happen around the country, many of which they don't officially have public smokeouts, but people get high there anyway.
I think everybody knows that at a hemp fest, a great deal of people are high.
A lot of times cops leave them alone, but sometimes cops pick on people there, so there's nothing really consistent you can say about that. Mark Emery in Canada went on a tour in front of police stations and smoked a bong. Bong hits across Canada or something like that, and summer of bong rips. And he went and he did that, and he had amazing success at that. But that was Canada. So what about the United States? Have there been any other protests like Mr. Carroll's protest that will be taking place on Saturday?
There probably have been protests of this sort at some point in time over the history of marijuana being illegal, but they're not common, that's for sure.
And nothing came of them, that's for sure, too. And those protesters might not have been backed up by a great activist network. So this is certainly going to be a first in some way, shape, or form. And, of course, we'll be talking to you more about it as it develops. It's going to happen Saturday, so if you're listening to Saturday show, we'll give you the latest. More coming up here. Hour 2 is on the way. You bring up anything. This is Free Talk Live.
How confidential is email? Consider this fact. In a recent survey of IT professionals, over 35% admitted to snooping through their boss's email. It's just one of the many privacy risks that come from relying on this aging technology. If such risks bother you, visit privacyharbor.com, a secure alternative that keeps messages private and beyond the reach of eavesdroppers. privacyharbor.com, because normal email is not secure.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low-mintage collector coin, with a total series mintage under $600,000, has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.